Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for worship. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I'm one of the teaching pastors, one of the elders here at The Grove. And I hope you brought your Bible this morning. We're going to be in Luke's Gospel today, Luke chapter 8. If you have it handy, why don't you go ahead and turn there with me now. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 40. If you're just joining us this morning, we'll be continuing in our sermon series titled Transformed Living. And last Sunday, Pastor Scott kicked off this new sermon series for us, leading us through Luke chapter 23. You guys remember that? Great message, great way to begin the series, focusing in on the thief on the cross whose life was forever transformed by Jesus Christ. And if you missed us last Sunday, you can access those messages on our church's website at thegrovebiblechapel.org. And today, a familiar passage, I think, to a lot of us, starting in verse 40, Luke chapter 8, we're going to see two great examples of people who have been transformed by faith in Jesus. And this is such a great text. I can't wait to share it with you. I appreciate so much what Pastor Robert said right before our final song there regarding The Battle Belongs. The Battle Belongs is really the theme song of Luke chapter 8, all right? This is such a fantastic passage. I can't wait to share it with you. It's really the best passage, I think, as a follow-up to our week-long VBS extravaganza. So much life change, so many things to celebrate. I'm telling you, this week was so much fun, wasn't it? So much fun just to watch God work in the lives of our children through the many, many, many men, women, students who are here serving day after day after day. Really, the whole week, in my opinion, was an example of transformed living. It really was. This week, we all witnessed transformed living through the many acts of service, through the many acts of sacrifice. This week, we all witnessed transformed living through the faithful proclamation of the gospel, challenging our children to flee darkness, right? To flee darkness and to be a part of the kingdom of the light and to be a keeper of the kingdom, right? We love that. We love that. This week, we all witnessed transformed living through the faithful instruction in God's word so that our children will be able to stand strong in today's battle for truth. And so as the week of VBS concludes, we begin a new week today looking at Luke chapter 8. And as I mentioned, two more examples of people's lives who have been transformed by the Lord. And so I tell you what, before we look at this, why don't we first pray together? Can we do that? Let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. So appreciative, God, of the opportunity to gather freely, and thank you for the opportunity once again to come before you and to hear, to receive the proclamation of your precious word. We ask right now, and I pray that you'll open up the minds and hearts of your people to understand, to appreciate, and comprehend what it is that our Lord Jesus is saying today through this passage. It's such a great account. Give us insight that we could see your truth with clarity and maybe see this morning the deep spiritual realities of your word. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts and minds of everybody here, drawing us closer into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus. And we do thank you. Thank you for this time. And we pray that it could be used for your glory and how we receive and respond to your word today. We ask this all in Jesus' good name. Amen. Amen. All right, my big idea is this. Transformed living begins with a transformed life. And if you were here last Sunday, you're like, hey, wait a second, that sounds a little bit familiar. Wasn't that Pastor Scott's big idea from last week? Yep, it is, because it's such a great truth. Transformed living begins with a transformed life. That's what we're going to see now. Notice here, verse 40. My first point this morning is a transformed life will look to Jesus always, all the time, day after day, especially during times of need. Notice here, verse 40, and Jesus returned And the crowds, they welcomed him. Everybody's eager. Everybody's full of anticipation. They welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. That's Jesus. Okay, so Jason, what's going on here? What's happening here in the context? What's taking place here in the passage? In this section of Luke, the focus here is on Jesus' ministry in Galilee, and each section of chapter 8 and following is showing how Jesus is Lord over all things. And that's what this passage does as well. Jesus is Lord over nature. Jesus is Lord over the demons. Jesus is Lord over disease and even death, as we're going to see. Notice here, verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he began to plead with him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter. His only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. Let's stop there. Jairus, it says, was an official of the synagogue. He was most likely the official in charge of planning the services. And we find out that he had a very sick daughter. She was dying, and all he could do was, I got to go to Jesus. I got to find Jesus. I got to get to Jesus. That's the only thing on his mind. And as he left the side of his critically ill daughter, where was he going? He was going to Jesus. He was going to plead with him to come and invite her to make her well. And I think for those of us that are parents, honestly, wow, that's like the worst thing, isn't it? If we were to try to put ourselves in his position today. In fact, I would even invite you to do that now. For those of us that are parents, maybe those of you who are grandparents, you can understand the weight, the heaviness, the difficulty of this text, trying to imagine what Jairus is going through. Honestly, I don't think there's something more difficult than this. This account, of course, it's a sobering reminder for all of us, right? It's a sober reminder for all of us that we're living in a dying world, and we ourselves are dying. All of us face the inevitability of sickness and death. We are deteriorating in this deteriorating world where death and dying is reality, all right? And we're told if you're to go back to Genesis chapter 3, that's where it all began. There's this curse on the earth, and that curse has sent the earth and all its inhabitants spiraling into tears and pain and frustration and sickness and death. And that's how it is in this life. And that's what sin has done to this world. And that's why you and me, that's why all of us need a Savior. Look again, verse 42. For he had an only daughter. What does that mean? It means that this is daddy's little girl. 12 years old, she was dying. But as he went, the crowds, it says, were pressing against him. Which means there's a lot of people everywhere, all around him, pressing against him. The painful part in all of this is just imagining how it was for Jairus that day. Can you picture it? Can you imagine? Maybe some of you have been through this experience, the desperation for one of your children, the hardship, the sadness, the frenzy that you're a part in, trying to find answers, solutions, helpness, cure. What a difficult place to be. I imagine the lump in his throat, the tears in his face, trembling. I imagine his knees shaking, frightened, tears in his eyes. But isn't his faith incredible? It's really remarkable, I think. Not only do we see faith in him coming to Jesus, but think about it. Wouldn't you want to be right next to your daughter's side if she was violently ill? Wouldn't you? Isn't that where you'd want to be? But yeah, what does he do? He leaves his daughter's side. By faith, he's doing this because he knows his daughter needs a miracle. And that's why he goes. He's like, I got to get to Jesus. Have you seen Jesus? In Matthew chapter 9, which is a parallel passage, most of the Gospels, they cover this account. Very interesting. You can kind of get more details from different passages. In Matthew chapter 9, he's recorded saying that when he did finally find Jesus, he said, come, you got to come. If you would just simply lay your hands on her, she will be made well. But you got to come, you got to come, you got to come. You can imagine his tone. Jesus, I know that you're able. I know that you can, but you just got to come. If you'd only lay your hands on my daughter, she will live. She will live. Each of us are challenged with this truth today, I trust, in different ways, because life will bring all of us to a fork in the road. Isn't that how it is? A crossroads. That's how life is. A crossroads where faith is required. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part. Yes, the circumstances can be different, but certainly in this life, all of us at various times, probably many times throughout our life, we will find ourselves at a crossroads, a fork in the road. And the question is, how will we respond on that day? Because faith is always required. And if I could just say this to those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ this morning, you're like, yep, I'm already saved. How does this apply to me? All right, lean into this. This is fantastic truth. This should fill your heart with encouragement and faith, because maybe you find yourself in a great day, and that's wonderful. But just know a crossroads is coming. And so prepare yourself for that day. For those that of you that are in a difficult day, take comfort in how our Lord handles this very difficult situation. I'd, in fact, even encourage you now to invite the Holy Spirit to help you apply this accordingly. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me identify areas of my life even right now where this is prevalent, where this is pressing, where I need your touch, where I need your encouragement. Help me to see things as they are from your perspective. What is it for you? Do you see it? Ask the Lord's help in this. I want to draw your attention to the fact that up to this point, this is interesting, not one time, never, all right? Luke chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, never has Jesus done this sort of thing before. This father's faith is remarkable. He's got some serious faith. Lord, I know that you can help my daughter. Church family, listen up. This is what transformed living is all about. As we consider the power of a transformed life, you got to take notice of Jairus. He's got faith to believe. Right now, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit is helping give you clarity, filling your heart with faith once again, to trust, to look for the Lord, to pray to Him, to look to Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to count on Jesus, to depend on Jesus. You see, and I don't want you to miss this, a transformed life will look to the Lord always. Every day, day after day, but especially during the difficult day. And that's what we see Jairus doing here. This man's faith is being stretched to the absolute max. All right? That's what's happening here. He is being stretched to the max. It says at the end of verse 42 that as soon as Jesus heard his request, don't you love that? It says that Jesus went. He went. That's our Lord. Immediately, he went. For those of you who are feeling a little bit shaky this morning, maybe you're discouraged, what I want you to see is that our God, this is Him. He's so good. He cares. He cares greatly. This is our God. He does care. He cares about Jairus. He cares about his daughter. He cares about you. He cares about me. And it doesn't matter if your faith is small or big, our God cares. He sees. He knows. This morning we see the tenderness of our Lord. We see his willingness to come. And now as we move on to verse 43, once again, there's a mass of humanity all around Jesus, all right? The crowds, it says, were pressing against him. And in verse 43, interestingly enough, another person enters the account. My second point this morning is a transformed life will pursue Jesus no matter the cost. Notice there, you looking? Verse 43, and a woman. No longer Jairus, no longer Jairus' daughter, a woman. All right, what's going on here? Who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. I think it's safe to say her ailment was very likely female in nature. She comes up behind him, that's Jesus, and she touched the fringe of his garment. We can pause there. So now enters this lady. We don't know too much about her. She comes out of nowhere. Basically, she snuck up on Jesus. She touches the fringe of his garment. And I thought this was interesting. I learned this week that the word, the original word here for touched, would actually be better translated like hold or grab hold. And it's the same word, in fact, used in John 20 after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where Jesus died for our sins. He conquered death for our salvation. It says in John 20 that when Mary touched Jesus, you guys remember that? So interesting what Jesus said. He said, don't touch me. Don't hold me. Don't grab a hold of me, Mary. I have not yet ascended to the Father. In other words, what Mary did was, she's like holding on to Jesus. I'm not letting you out of my sight, Lord. And he said, I'm so sorry, Mary. You can't hang on to me. I've got to go back to heaven. I got to send the Holy Spirit. You can't keep me here. That's what this woman is doing, I believe. She's very desperate. It's a lovely, desperate picture because she was diseased for 12 years. How awful. Just awful. 12 years with an issue of blood. The point is she couldn't stop the bleeding. Mark's gospel adds that she spent all of her money on doctors. Did it help? It didn't help. It actually made her worse. How sad is that? Many of us, some of you, we know what this is like. Going to the doctor, looking for answers, going to the doctor, looking for help. Here's a prescription, here's a pill. Never seems to help. Very discouraging. It's sad. And so she's desperate. Can you imagine her sad state? Can you imagine it? 12 years is a long time, wouldn't you say? In fact, if we were to go back 12 years from now, that would put us in the summer of 2011. You guys remember that? Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? 2011, yeah. There was news happening at that time. Seems like a long time ago. Wow. 2011, what was I doing? Well, here's a couple news items for you. This will jog your memory. Do you guys remember May of 2011? 12 years ago, bad guy, Osama bin Laden. You guys remember him? He was the founder and leader of Al-Qaeda, the most wanted man, most wanted fugitive in the world. What happened, Jason? He was killed on a military raid at his hideout in Pakistan. That was 12 years ago. Can you believe it? 12 years ago. My goodness. A few days later, also in May 2011, a groundbreaking movie came out. Do you guys remember what it is? Great movie. Did you see it? Ooh, yeah. What's the movie? Marvel Studios Thor was released. Wow, that was 12 years ago. My goodness. This was the fourth film of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Here we go. Let's test your trivia this morning. For 10 bonus points and for courtside seats, front row here at church today, who can name the first five movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Here we go. What do you got? What do you got? What do you got? Iron Man. That's right. Captain America after Thor, also in the top five. What do you got? What do you got? What do you got? The Incredible Hulk. Jason, I'm a little nervous about those courtside seats. Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk. Iron Man 2, number 3. Number 4, Thor. Number 5, Captain America. My goodness, that's a long time ago, isn't it? Congratulations, come get your seat. We got like 9 of them, all right? Courtside, cushy. One more for you, maybe two more. So May 2011, big news month. The only story that topped it was the birth of Elisa J.L. Fevig. Everybody loves a baby picture. There she is, teeny tiny little baby. We love babies here at the Grove. Newborn, my goodness, 12 years old. I cannot believe it. I think we might have another one that was taken little while later, also that summer. She was so sweet. My goodness, what a good little baby. Today, Elisa is 12 years old, which is hard to believe. And which means we actually have two 12-year-olds in the house. Can you believe that? Not twins, two 12-year-olds in the Fevig home. It's true. It's hard to believe. They're both like ours, Gretel and mine, all in the same year. It's hard to believe. I know what you're thinking. Wow, she is really a saint. Woof! She is. She is a saint. I got one more for you. This is a sad one. This is going to tug on your heartstrings a little bit. From June 2011. How about this one? Anybody remember this? Oh, man! This was a tough month for Miami sports fans. June 2011, the Dallas Mavericks won their first NBA championship beating the Miami Heat. All right, I can see you guys were scarred like that, by that like I was. Having spent most of my 20s and a good chunk of my 30s in Miami, I cheered on a lot of Miami Heat games. That year was a tough one. Maybe topped by this year. I hope not. We'll see. So all that happened 12 years ago. Hey, Jason, what's your point again? You kind of lost me. What's your point? The point is, 12 years, it's quite a while, isn't it? It's quite a while. A lot of life can be lived in 12 years. Just think about it. Pretty much all of the 100-plus children that were here this week for BBS, they were all born in the last 12 years. My goodness. 12 years is quite a while. Now, getting back to our passage, Luke chapter 8, 12 years is a long time for this poor lady to suffer, day after day, week after week, year after year. And to make matters worse, her bleeding would have made her, according to Jewish law, ceremonially unclean, excluding her from normal society and from religious activities. For 12 years, she would have been isolated and alone, spending all of her money on doctors, and still worse. And so what does she do? She's like, I got an idea. That's what she does. Look at verse 44. It says, do you guys see it there? This is so great. I love this. She came up behind him, that's Jesus, and touched the fringe of his garment. And, wait a second, what does it say? And, what does it say? Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped. Wait a second, did that really happen? Yep, she was healed. The Lord healed her after 12 long years. She was healed. Praise the Lord. Her hemorrhage stopped. And so right there in that moment, she went from sick and tired to healthy and well. Jesus healed her. Imagine the joy. Imagine the excitement. Imagine the delight. Imagine the happiness. Jesus healed her. Can you imagine how happy she would have been? Her excitement, her gratitude, her appreciation. Everything in her life is now different. Everything changes in that one moment. Her illness is gone. Praise the Lord. She's able to go about normal life of a woman. She can now enter the temple for the first time in 12 years, which means she can finally be among God's people. She can worship God. Praise the Lord. Now notice there, verse 45, what it says. And then Jesus said, uh-oh, is somebody in trouble? Do you guys see it? And Jesus, what did he say? He's like, wait a second, wait a second. Wait a second. Who just touched me? Hold up, hold up. Something just happened. And they're all denying it. I didn't do it. Peter said, Master, the crowds are surrounding you and pressing in on you. But Jesus said, no. Somebody did touch me. For I know that the power had gone out of me. And verse 47 says, and when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, oh man! She came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him. That right there is a very big deal. And how she had been immediately healed. So the context here, kind of the setting, is so important. It's really marvelous what takes place here. Luke tells us that there was this large crowd, and they were pressing hard on our Lord. In fact, some Bible translations, maybe yours, says that the crowds almost crushed him. That's how many people were there. And so getting to Jesus for this woman, it would have been very, very, very difficult. It's very hard. It says in Luke 8, chapter 19, that Jesus' mom and brothers tried to reach Jesus, but they could not. How about that? Can you imagine Mary? Hey, move it or lose it. That's my boy. That's my son. I got to get to him. No, she couldn't. Can you hear his brothers? Hey, coming through. Excuse me. That's my brother up there. Need some room, please. Nope, they couldn't get there. This woman, on the other hand, she overcame all of it. It's extraordinary. It's very impressive. And then I love what it says in the second half of verse 47. She declared in the presence. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? How many people were there? We don't know. It's a lot of people. She declared in the presence of all the people, everyone, the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. How great is that? That's what transformed living is all about. We see this woman's faith. Her faith is moving. We see her faith acting. We see her faith doing. We see her faith trusting. We see her faith believing. That's what a transformed life is all about. And you say, well, Jason, how do you know that she had faith? It's the next verse. Next verse says, verse 48, and he said to her, daughter, tender daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Is that not the best? Is that not the best? Just an amazing account of faith. I'm telling you, a transformed life will pursue Jesus no matter the cost. One thing here, notice that Jesus said your faith has saved you, which means that Jesus was saved versus just healed alone, right? This woman was saved versus just being healed alone. During Jesus' ministry, he did miracles all the time. He's like healing people everywhere, all the time, of everything. He healed those without faith, but he only saved those with faith. That's what happened here. This woman had faith. Maybe as you hear that, you're like, you know what? I hear Christians all the time use the word save, but like, what does it really mean? Like, what do you guys mean saved? I don't really know what you mean by it, though. What does it mean to be saved? I like to think of it this way. This week, if you were to go to New Smyrna Beach, go swimming, doesn't that sound like fun? Go swimming, New Smyrna Beach. Let's say you do that, but that day it's a little bit windy. You're swimming. There's an undertow. Have you ever been caught in one? Have you ever been caught in an undertow? It's pretty scary. It's happened to me several times. Get pulled out. Water gets deep. You start to run out of air, starting to drown. Fortunately, lifeguard paying attention, swims out, rescues you. What would we say? We'd say that the lifeguard saved you from drowning. If your theology is good, you'd say that God saved me through the lifeguard. But we all know what you mean. The lifeguard saved you from drowning. Same here with this woman. The Bible says that we are drowning in sin. You are, and so am I. We all are. And it's trying to pull us deep. But by faith, this woman extends her hand and she reaches out to Jesus by faith. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 48, it says that her faith saved her. This is what it means to be saved. Jesus rescued her. This woman was saved. She was rescued by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about you? As we look to be doers of the word, as we try to apply the things that we're looking at this morning, have you experienced a life saving by our Lord and Savior Jesus? This is what transformed living is all about. Like this woman in today's passage, you too, just like I must, reach out to Jesus by faith. And it's not just something we do today. It's not just something we did back in 1985. It's something that we do day after day after day. It's not that we need to be saved from our sins day after day after day, but honestly, we need the Lord every day. Transformed Living says, I admit it, man, I fall short. I've been trying to earn God's favor. I've been trying to do right, but I can't. I realize that I'm a sinner. I do wrong things. I want wrong things. I'm a sinner by nature. I'm a sinner by choice. It's just who I am. It's what I do. I admit that. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Thank you, Lord. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that. I believe it. I confess you, Jesus, today as Lord. I repent of my sin. I want to choose to follow you now with my life. I'm making you, the Lord, the master of my life. If you haven't come to that place yet, what's stopping you from doing so today? Moving on to verse 49. While all this is going on, we can't forget about, what's his name? Oh no! Jairus! And I warn you, this is the sad part, all right? Look there. My third point this morning is a transformed life will focus on Jesus. When tested, verse 49, while he was still speaking, oh man! While he was still speaking, somebody came from the house of the synagogue official saying, is this not a terrible way to find out? Awful. Do you see it? You see it? What kind of messenger is this? Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. Wow, that's just cutting to the chase, isn't it? She's dead. Just stop bothering the teacher. How awful, huh? It's just awful. In one short sentence, Jairus finds out the worst news in the worst possible way. Can you imagine? That is awful. As a father of a 12-year-old daughter myself, I don't even really want to think about it that much. So sad, painful. Stop bothering the teacher. She's dead. And so in a matter of minutes, Jesus' trip with Jairus gets delayed and the daughter dies. She's dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. I'm ready to move on. How about you? Anybody ready to move on? Yep. Anybody? I'm ready to move on. Next verse, verse 50. Now for some words of hope. Oh, good. The account doesn't end there. Good news, anybody? Good news? I'm up for some good news. Totally up for some words of hope. Good news, anybody? Yep. I know I am. I could really use some good news right now. In fact, why don't you go ahead and ask your neighbor? Neighbor! You ready for some good news? Yes! Me too! Notice verse 50. I love this part. Words of hope! But when Jesus heard this, are you looking? When Jesus heard this, he answered him, I love this. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be saved. There's hope in that verse. There's hope. Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she'll be saved. I love that. Things look bleak, but hope is not lost. I can almost picture Jairus about to fall to his knees. Can you imagine? My goodness. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Can you hear the Lord? Can you hear him? Don't look away. Jairus, look here. Look here. Look here. Don't look away. Lift up your eyes. Do not be afraid. Only believe. She will be saved. I love these words of reassurance. It's not too late, Jairus. It's not too late. All hope is not lost. Maybe today you need that reminder. Do you need that reminder? Are you losing hope? You feeling squeezed? Are you starting to lose heart? Are you starting to lose heart? Are you discouraged by your trial? Is the battle enduring longer than expected? Are you weary? Are you strung out? Are you tired? Are you starting to lose hope? What is it for you? What is it for you? Some of you, I know, you've lost a job. You've been downsized. Some of you are behind on bills, I know. Is it the soaring cost of insurance? What is it for you? Is it the soaring price of your prescription medications? Super relevant for our family, the type 1 diabetic in the house. Is it your cost of health care? What is it? Is it groceries? Is it pretty much just everything? Utilities going up, you name it, bills to pay. Here's the hope, loved ones. Verse 50 is both an example to follow and a promise to claim. For those of you who are losing heart today, I'm telling you, make verse 50 your go-to verse for the summer of 2023. What does Jesus say? He says, do not be afraid. That's what he says. Only believe. A transformed life will focus on Jesus when tested. Do not lose sight of this. Here's the thing about transformed living. A transformed life is one who is quick to look to Jesus. Because isn't this true? Can I get an amen today in church? The temptation, the difficult day is to focus on the things that we see. Isn't that true? That's what we do. It's to focus on our circumstance. It's to focus on our situation. It's to focus on the bill that's due. It's to focus on the relationship that's broken or strained. It's to focus on our health concern that's ever present. That's what we do. We focus on the circumstance. And today, what Jesus is saying is, focus on me. Focus on me. Don't look at the difficulty of your circumstance. Focus on me. I know that everything looks impossible right now. Focus on me. I love what the psalmist says. I think we have a slide for this. In Psalm 121, this is a blessing for you and for me. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. That's what I'm going to do. For where shall my help come from? Where's it going to come from? My help comes from Yahweh, the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. That's why I focus on Jesus. I got another one for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. That's what you and me must do. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not the things that are on the earth. You see, loved ones, at the end of the day, it's essential that we keep our eyes on the Lord. Jesus is our help. Jesus is our hope. He is where our help comes from. Therefore, keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is. Set your mind on the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. And be reminded, our God is a good God. And we can trust him that he will do what he will do and he will work things out in his time and in his way. Amen? That's what we believe. That's our God. Let's finish this up. Notice here verse 51. So when he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, James, and the girl's mom and dad. Verse 52. Now, everybody's crying, of course, and they're lamenting for her. Everybody's turned inside out with emotion, but he said, stop crying. Stop crying. She has not died. She's asleep. And they began laughing at him, knowing that she has died. They think this is impossible, and so they laugh at his face. Ha ha ha! Hearty har har! LOL! Hashtag, no way, Jose! Verse 54. He, however, took her by the hand, and he called, isn't this great? Child, arise! He did it! And her spirit returned, and she stood up immediately. And he gave orders for something to be given to her to eat. And so she got up at once, no longer dead but alive. Miracle number 2, verse 56. And her parents were astounded. But Jesus directed them, so interesting, to tell no one. Tell no one what had happened. Let's stop there. We can go ahead and close our Bibles with that. The big idea today has been transformed living begins with a transformed life. And we've been seeing this over and over and over, haven't we? As we wrap up, there's a couple things I want to leave with you. And I'm just going to ask that you take this to heart. In fact, you can close your eyes. There's nothing to see. I just want to allow this to minister to your heart. And so just reflect on this. Just reflect on this. For those of you this morning are in a season of difficulty, frustration, discouragement. Today we've seen that it's the way of God to be tender and kind. Don't overlook that. Take comfort in it. Our God cares for those that are his. And if you are his, he cares. Don't forget. Today we've seen that Jesus leans towards those who are in need. And we can trust him for the same in our lives. One more thing. When Jesus healed this woman, he didn't allow her to go unnoticed. When you think about the miracles today, Jesus insisted that the raising of Jairus' daughter be kept silent, tell no one what happened. Yet Jesus drew out the woman to make her healing public. It's very interesting, right? Here's how this is relevant for you and for me. Why the difference? One was private, one was public. Why the difference? What I'm coming up with is this. It's not that Jesus wanted to embarrass the woman or anything like that. It seems that he was just simply drawing out her faith. That's what he seems to be doing. He seems to be drawing out her faith. For Jairus, his faith was very evident. It's very public, too. The woman, on the other hand, when she reached out, she did so anonymously. And I think the point is, faith in Jesus is something that should be known. It should be public. That's what transformed living is all about. You know, I know in our day and age, especially in corporate America, it's very difficult to be bold with our faith. But faith in Jesus is something that should be public. I realize there's less and less tolerance for the faith of Christ followers. And some people say, you know, my faith, it's a personal matter, but listen, it may be personal, but it's not designed to be private. Faith must be known. Faith must be lived out. Faith must be acted upon. Faith must be shared. Faith must not be a secret. That's what transformed living is. So I'm just going to leave you with that. Have you gone public with your faith? Are you living a transformed life today? I trust the application of these principles is clear. The only question is, how are you doing at living them out? You know, I'd love to close our time in prayer. I'd love to invite you to stand with me. Would you do that? Please stand. Let's close in prayer together. Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word today. It's truth. We pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. God, thank you for the reminder in your word today. It's a very familiar passage, but it's so dear. It's so beloved. Thank you for the reminder of how tender and caring and helpful and how open and kind and attentive you are to your children. Thank you for that, Lord. I trust many of us needed that reminder. Thank you that through faith, what seems impossible can actually be made possible. Thank you for that as well. For those within our church family right now that are reaching out to you by faith, they're looking to you now, Lord. Meet them where they are. Meet them at their point of need. For the things that they can't sort out on their own, would each of us fix our eyes on you? Would we trust you today? Would we live by faith in you today? We know that your ways are higher than our ways, and so we trust you, Lord, today. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you're a good God. We worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.